Go. Let's stand together. I'm well acquainted with today. Amen. Over the centuries since the early church, at least 100 years removed from the early church, and those celebrations they had about the birth and baptism of Jesus, a lot of that they debated about when to do that. Actually, it was done in the month of December back then. Some of them would practice it in January, have those special services. And I don't care if we'd done it in July. It really don't matter to me. I'm one, I don't tend to believe Jesus was born in December. I'm about 110% sure he wasn't born on December 25th. I'm about that sure. If I'm wrong about that, I'll get straightened out when I get to heaven. You probably can't straighten me out on that. I've studied it out enough to be pretty grounded in it. And so it'll take the Lord in heaven to do that. But the fact that we have any time, and over the centuries, I understand there's been a lot of ways that even pagan things have attached themselves to even the Christian aspect of Christmas and how we celebrate all that. And I'll let you figure all that out. And you're going to have a hard time disassociating yourself from everything that's pagan in the day you live in. If you have referenced the day of the week it is, Sunday, you have just referenced something that is pagan. Every day of the week is related to something that is pagan. If you say a month of the year, you are referencing something that has an attachment to something that is pagan. Amen. Amen. We as Christians, we understand what Paul taught, that those days and meats offered to idols and the things in the culture that are associated with paganism, to you and I, they mean nothing because they represent nothing. Right. Amen. We acknowledge that there is one that is over that. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do this morning and over the next several services. And again, I don't care. Some Paul said there's weaker brethren. They regard one day above another, and they give special attention to those days. And then there's stronger brothers. They just esteem every day alike. It doesn't mean anything. Amen. Whatever the attachments to Monday are tomorrow, they hold no value to my heart and my life because I know who my Savior is. And there is one who is the Lord of every Lord and the King of every King and the God of every God. Amen. And so what we want to do over the next few weeks is get our focus set back in on Jesus. And so beyond the devils and beyond the paganism and the heathenism and the cultural aspects of all of it, we as God's people need to recenter our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. Look with me, and just one verse. I was going to read a few more. I'm taking up too much time already. Look in verse number 16, where the Apostle Paul said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Notice what he says, and he's going to give a list of things that are connected with this matter of what he calls the mystery of godliness. The first of which, he said, God was manifest in the flesh. Justified, that's the one I want to deal with. God was manifest in the flesh, but the list goes on. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Thank God for that. Believed on in the world, that's getting personal now. And then he said, received up into glory. Over the next few weeks, we want to deal with the birth of Christ. And particularly this morning, I want to deal with, we'll call this morning, and I'll give you maybe a little better title or a thought that we want to focus in on for this, but the theme for the service this morning, I just want to deal with the mystery of Christ's birth. The mystery of Christ's birth. And you can be seated this morning in the context of the closing of this chapter. We understand that Paul has been dealing with, and really from the beginning of the letter, beginning in chapter number 1, writing to Timothy, setting in order in the mind of the man of God things that pertain to the local church and its ministry. He'll sound warnings. He'll give, as Brother Tim taught this morning, various commands and a charge laid to Timothy and upon the men and the women and the members that are part of the local church and Timothy is pastoring over. And he's setting in order some things that need to be set in order in dealing with. But I love how he brings a close to what we call this chapter, this particular part of the letter, in light of all the commands, in light of all the charges that have been given, in light of some of the corrections that have been made, and the things that Paul has pointed out that need to be addressed in Timothy's life and in the ministry of the church. He, in one single verse, brings everything back to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say this morning that in this place are many needs that are represented, many commands that would need to be given. Many of you need to be charged today, and maybe even my own life. And no doubt that is so. There are many ways we could reprove and rebuke and exhort things about our lives, our families, and this particular local church. But I want to say this morning, no matter what we need, never forget that the main thing must remain to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning he is, amen, the greatest message. He's the greatest theme. He's the greatest one to be promoted. And in fact, every need that we have, every issue in our life, every thing you struggle with today, at the end of the day, we can tell you what you need to do, but it will only be solved by you maintaining a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so people would walk in and they would say, well, Brother Jeff needs this. And Brother Jeff would walk in and look at you and go, you need an attitude adjustment. And you'd look at me and maybe say the same thing. And we would be skeptics and critics of the church and of one another. But at the end of the day, keep your eyes on Jesus. And Paul has just said, I'm writing that you may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. I'm writing so these things can be squared away. But then in one transition from verse 15 to verse 16, Paul brings us all back to the main thing and the main purpose and the main reason that we ought to be brought together today. And may I say it with Paul, his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. We ever get away from the main thing, this church will be nothing more than what Brother Larry spake about that so many have made church today, and that is a social club with a steeple on top that is full of rules and regulations and cliques and groups and a bunch of disgruntled people who can't be satisfied about anything. Paul says, get your mind back on Jesus Christ. And so Paul speaks here of this great mystery of godliness. And it's not necessarily my goal to get in the depths of this. I have preached, in fact, entire series through this list of things connecting it to the mystery of godliness. If I could put it in just simple, we would call it layman's terms. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's not my goal, at least in this point of the message, to be deeply theological. But if I was to tell you about this great mystery of godliness, I would say this morning that it's simply the story and the message and the means or the manifestation, the grace of God concerning what Jesus did to bring mankind a way to be made right with God. That's what the mystery of godliness is. It's the way. It's the matter. It's the means. It's the message that Jesus brought to you and I. And when we could not be made godly, we could not be made right with God. And Jesus accomplished what we could not do and did, and may I say died, what you and I could never do. In a thousand lifetimes, Jesus did it in one lifetime. And he provides for you and I this mystery, this wonder, this amazing grace of God by which you and I can be made right with God. Men are not right with God today. Men live their lives. They're born into the mystery of iniquity, that mystery of iniquity that Paul said doth already work in the world. And so that is a mystery. That is a wonder. And mankind is so steeped in sin and far in sin. But Jesus came to bring the great mystery of godliness, and we can be rescued out of the mystery of iniquity, and we're not in sin any longer, and we're not bound to sin any longer, and we're not headed to the payment for sin any longer. And since we've been saved, amen, we've been brought into a great mystery of godliness. Thank God Jesus did what we could never do. Today, if you are right with God, if you are right with God based upon the wonders of what Jesus did. And if you're here today and you're not saved and you're not right with God, simply put, today, the only way that you can be, and you can be, is that you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord and the Savior of the world, and believe on what He did that you could not do, and repenting of your sins, trusting Him, that He is more than enough, that He has satisfied God, and that on the merits and the power of His gospel and that message, you can be saved, your life can be changed, and you can pillow your head tonight with the peace of God in your soul that all is well between you and God. The mystery of godliness. A lot we could say about it this morning. A lot we could say about it. Note the first truth in the list of things that Paul gives in verse 16 that are connected to this mystery of godliness, things that Jesus and only Jesus could do to provide salvation for you and I, is simply this: God was manifest in the flesh. This is a statement of truth that no doubt is a connection in our mind and in our thoughts and to our heart, our understanding of Scripture today, a connection, a truth in connection to that of the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God was made flesh. This would seem to be a heresy and an apostasy to some that are bound to false religions outside of the Word of God today. But the fact of the matter is, God was manifested in the flesh. You say, well, when did that happen? It happened 2,000 years ago when Mary had conceived in her the Son of God of the Holy Ghost. And then 9 months later, He was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger. And my friend, that moment of time when the stars shone upon that baby's brow, they shone upon the very brow of the Son of God. God was manifested. God was revealed. God was brought to man in the flesh, and He done so in and by way of the birth of Jesus Christ. This is a great mystery, that God would come to you and I and not come. Brother Tim read it out of Hebrews chapter number, was it chapter 2 this morning where you began, Brother Tim? And he scared me. I thought he was about to mess up all my message. Amen. For half of you, the other half of you wasn't here for Sunday school, but that's for another message. Amen. But, amen, it would have messed it up for the half of you that was here. Amen. When he read the verse that the Lord Jesus, He did not come, my friend, to man through the nature of angels. He could have. The Old Testament calls Him, and you need to talk to Brother Mike about this. He's done in-depth studies about the angel of the Lord revealed in the Old Testament. And that's a major thing. That's a whole nother theological, amen, can of worms we can open up. This morning, he could have done that. He could have simply continued to speak through the prophets. And he deals with that in Hebrews, in sundry times and in diverse manners. And days of old, God revealed himself, my friend, simply by word of the prophets. He could have continued to do that. He, my friend, could have done it a myriad of ways. But my friend, the way that he chose to manifest himself in the last days and in the last times, and the ultimate revelation and manifestation of God, was that God would come down and be revealed to mankind in his, amen, in the flesh. And so we understand that this is a connection to the birth of Christ. And what a revelation. And what a great mystery. And God would even reveal himself to us in any way, much less by way of taking on himself a form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and he might manifest himself to you and I through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonder. That's a mystery. That's something, amen, beyond our pay grade to figure out why and how. And the wonders of that are beyond human comprehension. And no wonder Paul said that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That this mystery involves the fact that God, through his Son, has taken on the robe of flesh, has been made in the likeness of flesh, and he had a body prepared for him, and then that body was manifested when he was born 2,000 years ago. Amen. And so our theme, our thought, our theme this morning is the mystery of Christ's birth. But what we understand today through the pages of the Word of God and the revelation of the Word of God as we have it inspired and perfectly preserved for you and I this morning, that this great mystery that Paul speaks is that it is now revealed to be clearly saved unto you and I, that we see that through the history and the pages of the Word of God, this mystery is all of a sudden clarified, and it's clearly to be seen, obviously, through faith. But God has laid it out, and you live in the greatest dispensation of time that men could ever live in, that you can go straight to the Word of God. You can hear straight from the hand of God what God wants you to know about this revelation of the mystery that God was manifest in the flesh. If I was to give you a title this morning, the message ain't long, so just hang with me. But this is a mystery. This is a great mystery. If I was to give you the title this morning, it would be simply this: the glorious history of the great mystery. God's been, listen, this mystery's been at work a long, long time. This great mystery that Paul speaks of, and he's going to give the list of all of it, and all these things demand and deserve a message within themselves, in series of messages within themselves can be preached, that he was justified in the Spirit, that my friend, he was seen of angels, he was preached on the Gentiles, he was believed on in the world, he was received up into glory. But Paul begins where it all begins and says it is a mystery, amen, a great mystery, that God has been working so long to bring himself and manifest himself in the flesh. The glorious history of the great mystery. If you're with me, say amen. I'm just magnifying the Lord today. That's all I want to do. I mean, don't get too excited. He only came to where we were. Amen. When we could not go to where he was, this songwriter said, he came to me. And thank God he came to you.
May I say, when all we like sheep had gone astray, when all the man's paganism and all the man's religion had, and even the religion of the Jews had come by way of the law of Moses had failed man and left man in bad shape. And he could not come to God and he could not change his ways. I'm glad that God came to where we were. Oh, what a mystery. Oh, what a wonder. Oh, what an amazing thought. And our God, the God that made us and the God that loved us, he did not leave us in our sin. He did not leave us without a way of escape to bring salvation. Amen. It would take more than sending Moses and more than sending David and more than sending the apostles. It required the sending of himself manifest in the flesh. Jesus, the birth, the mystery of the birth of Jesus. Well, if I was going to give you the glorious history of this great mystery, I would have to say this morning, number one, that we'd have to give consideration to the fact that what we'll call this morning involves the contemplation of the mystery. Now, I want to say this morning that it was the plan of God determined before the beginning that God would always manifest himself in the flesh. There are certain dispensational ways of studying the Word of God. We would call them ultra or hyper dispensationalisms. That, my friend, they view the history of the Word of God as though God was trying to bring salvation to man. And so this wouldn't work, and that wouldn't work, and this wouldn't work, and that wouldn't work. And so finally the bringing of Jesus in the world, that was planned. That was just another one of the plans in a multitude of plans that God gave for man's salvation. And I'm telling you today that at the contemplation of this mystery is that it was contemplated first in heaven before it was ever known on earth. Amen. Oh boy. It was designed. It was purpose in eternity before it was ever known in the realm of time. And so we can go to the beginning of the Word of God. And the Bible said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we'd immediately go to John 1 and in verse number 1 where the Bible said, in the beginning was the capital W, Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Verse 2 in the same. As in the beginning with God, verse 14 tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, a glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we are brought into this thing. Listen, this contemplation of the mystery, I need you to try to wrap your mind around it, even though I can't wrap my mind around it and you can't wrap your mind around it, but just be blessed trying to. That before man ever was, God had already contemplated this mystery that he, through his Son, would be made flesh and dwell among us. This thing, my friend, listen, Jesus was not, listen, you've got to get this. Jesus was not from the beginning. It's not what the Bible said. See, all this crowd, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and other apostates of the Word of God, they think that Jesus became, amen, at his birth, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Amen, he predates his own birth. Amen. He existed before mankind saw him in the flesh. And so the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And so there's this contemplation of the Son of God that takes place outside of tithe, outside, my friend, and before the beginning of tithe and the beginning of creation. And there, my friend, and there before all that we know that is, there is the mind of God that is at work. Before he ever made this mud ball called earth, before he ever formed the first man, before you ever had conception in your mother's womb, God already knew what man, what mess and what shape that man would get into because of his sin. He's seen your broken heart. He's seen your life in shambles. He said, my friend, all the dope you'd ever smoke and the booze you'd drink. He's seen all the fornication you'd ever commit. My friend, he knew the shape that we'd all be in. He knew the heartache and the grief and the ruts that sin would make out of our life. Before you ever, my friend, had your first taste of sin, God had already contemplated, I'll go down to where they are. I'll go down and manifest myself. Oh, they won't find their way back. There's not a way back. There's no way back in and of themselves. And so there's the contemplation of the mystery. And so when we consider this glorious history of the great mystery, we've got to go back all the way to eternity past. And there's a God that is there. Amen. Manifests in three personalities. Manifests in three distinct persons. Let me get it right. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. One God, amen, one God, yet distinctly three. I'll let you figure all that out. I just believe the Bible. Amen. God the Father and God the Holy Ghost and God the Son already had it in mind. Listen, listen, the fall of man did not catch God by surprise. It did not stump God. God didn't scratch his head. Amen. When he seen man eat what God had forbidden to be eaten, he didn't scratch his head and declare, I never saw this coming. Oh no. And we think about the glorious history of this great mystery. We are firmly rooted in the Bible truth that God has had this planned all along. Amen. Amen. We could go to Galatians 4 where the Bible declares that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. See, the Son did not become, the Son was sent forth. Amen. He did not come into being. He was not granted life. He was life. Amen. I can prove that and we'll do so over the next few weeks. And so in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, that is, amen, he was manifest in the flesh. He literally took on the body that is declared in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 10. And the Son declares to the Father, a body hast thou prepared for me to do thy will, O God. And so the Son from eternity past, and the Father from eternity past, and the Spirit from eternity past already had the plan. They already were working the mystery out. The contemplation of the mystery. Notice with me the proclamation of the mystery. Amen. What was contemplated in eternity was proclaimed in time. A lot of things I could say. I got to hurry this morning. Amen. But let me give you, and there's more than three, but let me just say this morning, the proclamation, this mystery. Amen. When we think about the glorious history of this great mystery, understand it was declared in the days of Adam. When Adam sinned and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his eyes are open. And now fellowship is broken between him and God. Now he understands. Now he understands that he has violated the law of God. He has violated that God said. Spiritually, man dies. Spiritually, man is cut off from God. Oh, he still has life in his body. His soul is alive. He has a vessel of a body to function in. But spiritually, man died in that day. Just like God said. It'd take a few hundred more years, but sin would eventually affect his body and he would die physically. Amen. But he died in the day he ate that fruit. Amen. And so the Lord comes to man in his fallen state. Ain't you glad that he came? Ain't you glad he didn't just say, all right, Adam, hey man, you go right on. Can you imagine what destruction man has done even in this hour? Can you imagine, hey man, all the iniquity we see in this day? Had it not been for God coming, you and I, hey man, they probably wouldn't even be on earth. Man would have wiped himself out a long time ago and in judgment be burning forever and ever in a place called hell. But God came to where man was. Part of that coming was a confrontation that would involve a proclamation. And so there's the serpent and there's the woman Eve and there's the man Adam. And all three hear the proclamation of the great mystery. When the Lord confronts the serpent and says that there's going to be a seed rise up of the woman and you shall bruise his heel. But that seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. That was a declaration and a proclamation of the coming of God, the coming of God the Son and being manifested in the flesh or the womb of a woman. That's exactly what Jesus did. Amen. He was the seed of the woman. He was the seed. Listen, he had the seed of his Father through the Holy Ghost. But my friend, he was that one born of a virgin womb and was there to bruise the serpent's head. So it's proclaimed, the mystery is proclaimed in the days of Adam. It's then again, and we're skipping, and I'm not saying it's not proclaimed between these places, but particularly it was declared again in the days of Abraham. In Genesis 12 and in verse number 3, God has called Abram out of the land of the Ur, the Chaldees, and there he's going to leave the pagan gods of his fathers. He's going to leave that heathen land and simply as a response of faith to the revelation that God made to him to come out and separate yourself. Abram made the God of heaven his Lord. He follows him out in Genesis 12:3. The Lord says to him, I will bless you and I'll make you a blessing. And in thee, here's what God said to Abraham. He said, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Right. He's talking about his seed. And in your seed, through your seed, through your progeny. Amen. And so, Brother Tim, Paul would say in Galatians and would tell us exactly about that seed. That seed was not a thing. It was not a... I don't want to be crude this morning, but it wasn't just the mere product of the human body. Paul said in Galatians that seed that Abraham knew, that seed was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. That blows the ultra and hyper dispensationalists out of the water. Amen. That Abraham, he believed that. He believed on God manifesting himself in this world in the flesh. And he was coming and he would be born. He would live a life. He would breathe this air. And then he would give his life one day on an old rugged cross on top of a mountain as the Son of God. And Abraham believed that. Abraham knew that and rejoiced at that proclamation of the mystery that, Abraham, you may not can figure all this out, but I'm coming. proclaimed it in the days of Adam. He proclaimed it in the days of Abraham. He proclaimed it in the days of David. Can I have y'all turn to a verse? I could tell you about it, but I want you to see it. This verse is mind-blowing. Look with me in the Psalms and find Psalm 132. Are y'all ready for this? Here's what the Bible, and y'all need to learn this verse, because if you have any kind of conversations with people of false religions, you're going to need this. The Bible said in verse number 10, Psalm 132, verse 10, "For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed." Look in verse 11, "The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he," that is the Lord now, "he will not turn from it." In other words, what the Lord said and swore to David, we're about to read what he swore, Brother Mike, but the psalm, the word of God is clear that God swore something he will never turn from. What was it? Watch it now. This is what the Lord said, "Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne." You know what the Lord just swore to David? "I'm coming to sit on the throne you sat on. I'm coming to where you are. I'm not turning away." Why? Because that's the mystery that was contemplated in eternity past. And now God is proclaiming to mankind from the garden, from the days of Abraham, or the days of Joseph, down through the genealogies, my friend, and the tribes of Israel. And that falls upon David. And God said, the Lord said, "I won't turn from this. I am going through the fruit of thy body. I will sit upon thy throne." What a declaration. That must mean, if it's of the fruit of thy body, David, I'm going to take on the body that comes through that seed of Abraham and now of David. It's amazing that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is of the lineage of David. Ain't that amazing? He said, somebody said, "Well, how does all that work? Did not the sons and the grandsons of David turn away from the Lord?" Amen. Sure they did. And so there was a conditional promise made to David, and so long as his sons would do right in the sight of God, and they would stay a part of the kingdom. And he declares that in verse number 12, "If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also, just like I'm going to rule and reign, amen, from the fruit of thy body, David, I'm going to sit on your throne, amen, the condition for all your other sons, not the son, is that they can reign too." And so there's a conditional promise, but there is an unconditional promise that in swearing, God said, "I'll not turn away. This is unchangeable. I'm coming. I'm taking on a body. Amen. I'm coming through the legacy and the lineage of that one that is David. And when I have that body, amen, that body's going to be fashioned and prepared in the womb of a virgin Mary. And Israelite is in the seed and the family of David and of his house." And my friend, God was just declaring and proclaiming the great mystery. Amen. That brings us number three to the, we'll call it the manifestation of the mystery. We see the contemplation is from eternity past. The proclamation is in those first 4,000 years of human history, God was telling man, we see it so clearly now in the Word of God as it's been compiled in its perfection that, and delivered us even to this very hour in the King James Bible. We understand that God was declaring it all in all. And man may not could have understood it all. And man, my friend, may have been looking through a glass darkly. And now the veil has been lifted and we see what God was saying all along. But all the contemplation that is spoken of and all the proclamations that are said to have happened mean nothing if it hasn't yet happened. And I tell you, when Paul said, without controversy great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. That my friend Jesus in fact has come. And bless His name that He did. Amen. Bless His name that He did. A birth of Jesus was a fulfillment of the mystery. And so again, we can run back to John 1. Amen. The Word was made flesh. That capital W Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. A glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Beloved was testifying to us. Amen. We're not waiting on a contemplation. This is more than some man said or some eternal purpose outside of time that man can't even wrap their mind around. This is more than some proclamation that God has actually come to where we are. God, the Word, was made flesh. Amen, amen. And so, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen. Literally, when Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, she gave birth to God in the flesh. It was not another son of Adam. It was not the seed of Joseph, her espoused husband. Oh no, it was that was of the Holy Ghost. It was God who left the portals of glory and put Himself in that virgin womb and then opened the matrix and was delivered and manifested for you and I in these days. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. That tells us the when. Amen. I'm kind of maybe a little scattered, and I understand it is. Come back tonight, it'll be a little more pointed, but that tells us about the when of the Word. He was before He was. Amen. He existed before He was manifested. Amen. He not only was conceived in perfection, He was perfect before He came. Amen. Brother Tim hit on it this morning. And you think about that, why a thrice holy God would leave a holy place such as heaven to come down in a sin-cursed earth. To live among sin-soaked souls. To be rejected and spat upon and reviled and betrayed. And even to the very hour all these years later is still ignored and tried to be cast aside. Yet He said, I'll go. He stepped out of eternity and into time and was manifested for you and I. The when of the Word, we see the where of the Word, He was with God. Somebody said, well, where was Jesus before He was manifested? With the Father. It's what He prayed in John 17 in His high priestly prayer the night before His crucifixion. He was talking to His heavenly Father. And part of that prayer, Brother Jack, involved Him expressing the desire and the joy of His heart that even in light of the cross, He was getting ever closer to being restored to the unity that He had with the Father before He ever came down here. Amen. Amen. The when and the where. And then it tells us the who. The Word was God.
Let me tell you something. Jesus was not a prelude to Joseph Smith. He was not a prelude to the Mormon doctrine that at all of us have a spark of divinity in us, and that one of these days we're all going to become gods and have our own little planets. What rubbish. What heresy. What devils of hell had to deliver that to such a man as Joseph Smith? Jesus was not one that was a man that just had a spark of divinity and became the Son of God. John said in the beginning, He was God. When He was born and manifested to you and I, He was God. There's one mediator between God and man. Paul said it's the man, Christ Jesus. So He's not only manifested as God, He's manifested as man. That is the only kind of intercessor we could have had. We had to have one that, my friend, was God so that He could enter in the presence of God, and yet He had to be man, so that He could take fallen man by the hand and by grace and their faith and repentance and trust in Him, that He, my friend, could bring them back to God. And I'm telling you this morning, what a blessing, what a blessed truth. Amen. What a glorious history of the great mystery. And there is a manifestation there. Can I put it this way? There is a bringing to pass of all the contemplations and proclamations. Amen. God brought it all to pass 2,000 years ago. We ain't waiting on Jesus to come other than to return. Amen. We're not waiting on a deliverer. We're not waiting on a Savior. Oh no, when He was manifested. Amen. Oh, I got so much to preach. I got to quit. Are everybody okay? Y'all finally look like you're enjoying it a little bit. Amen. In John 1, 1 through 5. Amen. John said He was manifested as the Lord of the world. You say, how do you know that? Amen. Because in the beginning was the capital W word. He ain't a little Savior. He's a capitalized Savior. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. Amen. The one who was in the beginning, the one who was before the beginning. Amen. Manifested in time for you and I. I remind you today, He is the Lord of the world. He is the Lord of mankind. Amen. He's not some dreamed up God of our imagination. He's the one that gave us life. He's the one that made us. He's the one that, my friend, is over all things. And by the way, as the Lord, He's the one you're going to stand before one day. Amen. He was manifested as the Lord of the world. He is manifested not only as the Lord, but He is manifested as the light of the world. He said, amen, about this one that was being manifested, this Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. He said in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I tell you today, He's the light. In a world of darkness, there is one who has manifested Himself. Amen. As the light of the world, sin brings darkness. But thank God there's a light today that shines. Amen. And He's been shining for 2,000 years. Amen. Drawing men, trying to draw men to Himself. And yet, my friend, the Bible said that the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Oh, but I'm glad, thank God, the light shone and brought condemnation and conviction. Amen. And drew me to the Savior. Amen. And the Lord, the Son of God, in the birth of Christ, in this great mystery, He's manifested as the light to men. Amen. Amen. It's amazing how we talk about light. I ain't got time to get in all this. Lord, have mercy. You ever notice we don't ever say, hey, somebody turn the darkness on. Right. Somebody turn the darkness on. The darkness just is. You don't turn darkness on, you turn the light on. Is that right? You know what happened 2,000 years ago? Man was in darkness. Jesus Christ was brought up out of the floor of that stable in the backside of Bethlehem. God turned the light on. Thank God you can stay in the darkness if you want, but there is light for you to be saved today. Amen. Oh, Lord, I want to say I'm going to move on. He's not only the Lord of man, He's not only the light of men, but He's the life of men. In Him was life. If you're going to have life today, see, man, I told you a moment ago, he died. We died in Adam the day that Adam sinned. Now, listen, I know these people, they'll argue and they'll fuss and they'll fight. And listen, they can believe whatever they want to believe. Everybody's entitled to be wrong. But they are wrong. Every one of us sinned in Adam. So how do you know that? Because every one of us died in Adam. Amen. That sin was imputed, and the death for that sin was imputed upon every one of us. Jesus Christ said, I'm come. I left up yonder to come down here. I am come that you might have life. That you might have it more abundantly. See, the glorious history of this great mystery, it involves that as Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us, that He came to give the life of God to the lifeless souls. The sons of Adam. And until you by faith come to Jesus, you're going to stay dead. You'll have no connection to God. You'll have no connection. Now, some of y'all got worried about Brother Larry's testimony there a little bit ago. Now, I'm telling you, I agree with him. He said, if you can't understand God's word, I think, well, he said it, if you can't understand the King James Bible, which is God's word, only word of God, right there. If you can't understand that, Brother Larry said, you're probably not saved. Right. You know why? Because, and that don't mean, now he ain't going, I don't think he means this. I'll clarify in case, I know he don't, but in case he does. There's some things in there I don't understand. There's deep things in there. But if you can't understand you're a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior, and if you don't get saved, you're going to bust hell wide open. But if you come to Jesus, you get to go to heaven forever. And if you don't believe that book, even the parts you don't understand, then there's evidence there's a lifeless soul on the inside. Dead to any kind of truth. Is that right? Ain't you glad He was manifested? Candy's coming. Do you know the old song, Wonder of Wonders? Been a long time? All right. Well, whatever you play, you'll be fine. Can I read y'all the words of it? Do you know that song? Anybody know that song? The Wonder of Wonders? Can I just read y'all? That be all right. When Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery. Hey, it ain't even 12 o'clock. It's 11:57. I see it right there. Ain't going to take me long to read this. When Paul said, it's a great mystery. He wasn't saying, Brother Larry, I don't know about it. A mystery is something that is interesting. Wondrous. Here's what I'm afraid of. Mike, here's what I'm afraid of. In the cultural aspects of what this season represents,
If we ain't careful, sissy, we'll lose the wonder of what it ought to mean to the child of God. You want to have a Christmas tree? Have one. I got one up at my house. I didn't put it up, but we got one. We got lights and wreaths and somebody say, man, mistletoe. Miss Kate hung the mistletoe. Amen. And I spend a lot of time just standing there. You can have all that or don't. I don't care. I really don't. I could care less what you want to do or don't do. Here's what I know. Jesus Christ came to where we were. Child of God, don't lose the wonder. Don't get over the glorious history of such a great mystery that had he not come, you'd still be headed to hell today. Several testified about, I was lost, I was a wretch, I was empty, I was headed to hell. It's where you'd still be had God not been manifest in the flesh. The wonder of wonders as she, this song's kind of from Mary, the mother of Jesus' perspective. As she looked on his face, that this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. Stars and the moon shining brightly on them, the earth and the sun were created by him. The wonder of wonders as she heard his small cry, that this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The hand that she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders as she looked down and smiled. He was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate. Come down to the earth. The chorus goes, the wonder of wonders. Oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. Here's why he came. The wonder of wonders. He died for my sin. Don't get over that. You got all kinds of other shopping you've got planned to do. Go do it. But don't lose the wonder that the Son of God came to where we were. But Mark, you testified. Man, bless my heart this morning. Imagine where you'd be today had he not come and somebody not told you about it. Amen. You've probably been one of the good old boys in the good old boys club of Cock County. Everybody go, Mark Jones, he's one of the good old boys. But he'd still be lost. He'd still be lost. But he testified this morning, I just want to thank God that he saved me. If you're here today and you're not saved, here's a wonder. He's still saving people. He was born, I'm done. Stand, but pay attention to me. Listen, he was born. Here's the wonder now. He was born so you could be born again. I skipped it. Maybe I'm not skipping it because I'm telling you about it. I was going to end this morning talking about the realization of the mystery. The contemplation, the proclamation, the manifestation, all that's wonderful. But it means nothing until you personally accept it and believe it and trust the one who has made flesh for you. Here's what the Bible said, 1 John 5, verse 2. Here's how you know when you're of God, that you testify that the Son of God has come in the flesh. Anybody who denies that, Brother Jack, John said, they're not of God, they're not of the Spirit of the Lord, and they don't know God. Are you saved today? Have you had the wonder? Have you had the wonderful wonder of that experience of coming to the one who came to you? Amen. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. You may want to come this morning as a child of God. Just say, Lord, thank you, and Lord, please help me during this chaotic time of our culture not to lose sight of this wonder. Maybe this morning you'd need to come and get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, yet in my sin, my life's a mess, I'm a wretch. I have so many blunders that I've made. But this morning I'm coming to the one who came to me. You could be saved today. You could be saved as these others testified. You could know that this morning. Heavenly Father, bless these that have come. Lord, others are praying in their seats and pews, and some are standing and they're thinking about just what a wonderful thought it is that the Almighty came down. Lord, I pray whatever works you've done in the hearts of these that are your children, seal it in them. May we guard it and protect it and ponder it in days to come. Lord, our hearts are heavy for any that would be here today that have yet to be saved. Lord, let them see, let them know, let them believe. Lord, deal with them today. Shine the light. Let them see the life. Let them have a manifestation that Jesus is Lord of all. Lord, may they conclude by faith that Jesus was born so they could be born again. Oh, dear God, I pray you'd work. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Some are praying. A few of God's children come. They're thanking the Lord. I'm sure others are. This morning, do you need to come? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to be saved? What a wonder of wonders that God was manifest in the flesh so that He could die for your sin. Betty testified this morning about that emptiness, that wretchedness, that sinfulness of her life. It's what seemed to have got her attention. She needed not something more, someone more. And I say today, that's why Jesus was manifest. That's why God through Jesus was manifested to us. So you could have someone more. Has the Holy Ghost turned the light on for you? Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, and this is condemnation, that light has come into the world. He said, men got to come to the light, but he said they don't because they love the darkness. They don't want their deeds reproved. They love the darkness, Brother Larry. This, Jesus said they love the darkness more than the light. I want to say this morning, I love the light more than the darkness. The light's not a thing, the light's a person. Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. Appreciate your attention this morning. I trust that you'll leave today and over the next few hours and even the remainder of this week and the weeks to come, you'll retain the wonder of the Lord Jesus. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen.